Howdy and welcome to the 10-week Bible study. This is week 6, day 1 of our study of Luke. I'm your host, Darren Hibbs, and today we're talking about Luke 12, 1 through 34. Welcome back to the 10-week Bible study. I want to invite you to check out all the extra content we have over at 10weekbible.com. There you can find links to purchase hard copy and Kindle versions of many of the studies we've done and a host of other resources, including podcast archives. Check out 10weekbible.com today. That's the number 10weekbible.com. With that, let's go and jump into God's Word to be reading, or actually, let's pray before we start today. Lord, would you open our eyes and our ears to hear what your Word has to say to us, God? Fill us today. We want to know you more, Jesus. We don't want to just know more about you. We want to know you more. Would you encounter us today in your Word? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. With that, now let's jump into God's Word. I'll be reading today from the NIV. This is Luke 12, starting in verse 1. Meanwhile, when a crowd of many thousands had gathered, so that they were trampling on one another, Jesus began to speak first to his disciples, saying, "Be on your guard against the yeast of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. There is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What you have said in the dark will be heard in the daylight, and what you have whispered in the ear of the inner rooms will be proclaimed on the roofs." That's kind of scary. That should cause us to think about the things that we do and say, no matter where we are. You know, they say that character, integrity, those things are defined as not what you do in front of others, but what you do when no one's watching. And that's what Jesus is calling us to here. But notice that Jesus is still, after our passage last week in chapter 11, Jesus is still doubling down on the Pharisees here. There is a serious rift, and Jesus wants to make sure that nobody misunderstands this. That Jesus is not like, "Yeah, I think they're awesome, and you should just do what they say, and they love God, and they're with God." No, he's like, these guys are hypocrites, and they will lead you away from the knowledge of God. Jesus is very clear about this. Verse 4. "I tell you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body and after that can do no more. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after your body has been killed, has authority to throw you into hell. Yes, I tell you, fear him." Jesus is obviously speaking about himself or about God the Father. Jesus is saying, look, the people who can take your life, who can take your stuff, who can bring judgment upon you and take the things away from you, he said, don't be afraid of them. Jesus is giving them an eternal perspective. There is an eternity to be had here. He's saying, be afraid of the one who, after all of that, after you've died and you stand before him as judge, can throw you into hell. Notice here that Jesus is calling hell a very real place after death. There are people nowadays, and there have been people forever, but there are people nowadays and a growing number of people that would say, well, hell is not real. Hell is, you know, difficult things that people go through on earth. You know, that really hell is when you've had a tough life. That's hell on earth. And Jesus here is not saying that. He's saying just the opposite, that hell is a real place after death that is eternal punishment. And he said, you should be afraid of going to that place. Solomon says, In Proverbs, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And many people through the years have tried to make this idea of fear as this reverence for God. Like I have this reverence for God. I'm not really afraid of him, because God wouldn't, of course, want us to be afraid of him, but I have this reverence for God. And while reverence for God can be an aspect of the fear of the Lord, when Solomon says that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, he's not saying that we live our entire life, that the end of wisdom or the fullness of wisdom is being afraid of God. But he said, that's where it starts. You can't come into wisdom unless you understand this reality, that there is one who will decide whether or not you spend eternity in his presence in heaven or in the eternal city or in hell. That's the one you should be afraid of. That is the beginning of wisdom, is learning that fear right there. The fear that, oh my gosh, there is this decision that will one day be made after I die. And it's the most important moment in my entire life for all eternity, how this moment goes. And that's a fearful thing. So the fear of the Lord is not just this reverence for God, just an honoring of God. It's fear. This right here should strike fear in our hearts that one day we will be judged by Jesus and God the Father, Holy Spirit. We will stand before this judgment seat. And if we have rejected his son, we will spend eternity in hell. Now we understand that what Jesus came to do, that it's not like what I call Hallmark Christianity, where St. Peter is there with, you know, a list of the good things and a list of the bad things that you did. And if the good things outweigh the bad things, you get into heaven. That's not how this works. That's not at all how this works. We are given the right to enter the kingdom of God for all eternity because we accept Jesus, because we pledge our allegiance to Jesus, to the Son. We are condemned to hell and punishment for eternity if we reject Jesus, God's Son, if we do not pledge our allegiance to him. Jesus has already said, if you're not with me, you're against me. If you're not on our side, you're on the other side. You are destroying and tearing up. You're with Satan. And so it's all about this allegiance to him. And so that fear, that realization when people come to that understanding, is like, oh my gosh, this may be real and I'm not sure where I would go. That is a very real fear. And that's the fear that Jesus is speaking of here. And that's the fear that Solomon says is the beginning of wisdom. Now, again, that is not the fullness or the end of wisdom. As we learn from that fear that he has made this, that God is going to make this decision, as we give ourselves to understanding who God is and what he's done for us, then we're undone by the grace and the kindness and the love of God that while we were yet in sin, God sent his son to die for us. That while we rebelled against him, while we were still in rebellion against him, Jesus died to make us right with God so that we could live forever with him. And not only that, not only did Jesus die so that we could get our get out of hell free card, but on top of that, he says, listen, my father gave me rulership. I give it to you. My father gave me this rod of iron. I give it to you. My father gave me white clothes. I give you white clothes. My father gave me a throne. I give you a throne. All of the things we see throughout the scriptures and especially throughout the book of Revelation, all of the things for those that overcome, for the saints who enter into the eternal kingdom of God, Jesus shares all of the things that God the Father has given to him with us, though we don't deserve it. We deserve hell and punishment. And by pledging our allegiance to Jesus, we overcome that. And not only do we overcome that, we walk into the most amazing things thinkable for all eternity. So no, the end of wisdom, the fullness of wisdom is not the fear of God, but it's where it starts. Jesus is very clear on that here. Let's continue. Verse 6. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 pennies? Yet not one of them is forgotten by God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. And see, Jesus is saying you should fear the one who does this, but at the same time, there's more to me than this fear. It's the beginning. But once you know that I will take care of you, once you have pledged your allegiance to me, there is nothing to fear. You don't even have to worry about your food and your clothes and your supplies. That's how good the Lord is. Verse 8, I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge before the angels of God. But whoever disowns me before others will be disowned before the angels of God. And everyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man will be forgiven, but anyone who blasphemes against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. Again, this is that allegiance that Jesus is talking about. If you have pledged your allegiance to me, if you are on this side, you will spend eternity with me. I will acknowledge you before God and the angels. But if you disown me, if you speak against the Holy Spirit, if what he's saying there, this is not, people get really afraid. Have I blasphemed the Spirit? Is it the unforgivable sin? What we're talking about is this allegiance to Jesus. That is the primary understanding of this, is the allegiance to Jesus. Will you reject God? Will you reject Jesus? Will you reject the Holy Spirit? Then he rejects you. Do you accept him? Do you pledge your allegiance to him? Then he pledges his allegiance back to you for all eternity. That's what we're talking about here. Verse 11. When you are brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, do not worry about how you will defend yourselves or what you will say, for the Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what to say. This is a little disconcerting. We like to have prepared statements, and he's like, listen, when you, not like, don't be prepared to share the gospel with people, or don't be prepared with anything. He's saying, when you get arrested and when bad people come against you, he's like, don't like pre-plan what you're going to do. He's like, let the Holy Spirit move through you and work in those situations. Verse 13, someone in the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Jesus replied, man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you? Then he said to them, watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich young man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich toward God. So this guy comes, and apparently their parents had died or something happened, and there's this inheritance, and they're fighting over it. They're squabbling over it. How many of you can relate to this? Maybe you've been in situations where you've got an inheritance and the siblings and people fight over that inheritance. I've seen family and siblings fight over ridiculously small inheritances, just ridiculous things. And so Jesus, who is actually judge of everything, this guy just out of the crowd says, teacher, you know, have my brother split the inheritance with me. And Jesus says, why are you coming to me with that? And then he goes right to the heart of the matter. He's like, listen, you are full of greed and you cannot see it. Rid yourself of this greed. Do not be like this man in this parable who thinks, you know, well, just because I've got lots of stuff, I'm good, right? They can bury you with your money and your gold, but you aren't taking it with you wherever you go when you die. They may put you in the ground, but if you've ever seen a dead person, anyone who's seen a dead person knows that the spirit, the life that was in that person after they die, it's gone. This body that we're in is just a shell of our humanity, and the reality of who we are exists beyond just this body. And you can see it when you look in people's eyes after they've died. I mean, you can see that. And so you can't take it with you. This is cliche, I know, but you can't take it with you. And so there are riches to be had in this life that have nothing to do with money. It doesn't mean we don't need money. And it doesn't mean that money is, you know, money is a corrupter for sure. Jesus says that money is the root of all kinds of evil. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Money itself is not evil. It's that love of money. It's the greed that's the problem. And the more money you get, the more difficult it is not to be greedy. And so pursuing the Lord first and foremost in everything we do is so important. And Jesus goes right after this guy. Verse 22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. For life is more than food and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Consider how the wild flowers grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all of his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today, and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you, you of little faith? And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor, provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Do we seek money first or we seek God first? It doesn't mean that we don't work. It doesn't mean that we don't try and get jobs and get raises and things like that and promotions. It's not what Jesus is saying, but he's saying, are you primarily concerned about these things? Are you actually worrying about what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, about where you're going to live? The Lord takes care of birds and flowers. Do you think you're not worth more to him than those things? That's what Jesus is saying. It's so easy for us to worry about all of those things because they're felt and ever-present needs. When things get tight, when things get difficult, those worries are magnified. But the Lord wants us to have faith in him that he will take care of us. Now, is it going to look the way that we want it to all the time? No, I'm sure if we were all honest, we'd all feel like, well, if the Lord's really taking care of us, we're going to look like Richard Branson, have a fleet of private jets and private islands and be billionaires. You know, that's the way the Lord would take care of us. And that's just not what the Lord does in this life. No, in eternity, it's going to be far better than that. It is. But in this life, that's just not really how the Lord does these things. Because very often that kind of wealth and those kind of resources are destructive to people far more than they're helpful. But the Lord takes care of us. He looks out for us. He sees what we need and he will give those things to us. Now, we definitely see people who lack those things very often. And sometimes it's through oppression and sometimes it's through bad choices. And sometimes there are periods of time where the Lord causes us to go without for one reason or another. But overall, in the end, the Lord looks out for us and he takes care of us. If we have faith in him, he says, don't be afraid about these things. Don't worry about these things. He's like, I'm giving you the kingdom of God. He wants to give us the kingdom. Again, it goes back to this idea of, do we fear God? Yes, that's the beginning of our walk with him. But oh my goodness, it gets so much better really fast when we give our hearts, our lives, our devotion, our allegiance to Jesus. And he gives us everything for free. Beloved, this is a day where the Lord is calling you to follow him, where he wants to take you just out of that fear of the Lord and give you everything for free. If you've never accepted Jesus, if you've never pledged your allegiance to him, I invite you to pray with me right now, today. Lord, I am a sinner. I repent of my sin, Jesus. And I pledge my allegiance to you. I want to follow you for the rest of my life, and I want to spend eternity in your presence, Jesus. I pledge my allegiance to you. Will you forgive my sins? Redeem me. And fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you just prayed that with me for the first time, I want to invite you to send me an email or contact me in whatever way that you feel comfortable. All of my contact information are in the show notes in the description. Please reach out to me if that's the first time you've ever prayed that prayer. I want to be in contact with you. I want to have a dialogue with you about next steps after praying that prayer. For the 10-week Bible study, I'm your host, Darren Hibbs. And I can't wait to see you next time.